broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The cut was going well, or surprisingly well, actually, for about halfway through.
When you look at this administration, I'm offended by Eric Holder.
And I must say that he is... He comes across as he's frustrated.
We've already had the Kingpin and Daredevil portrayed by a black man.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Going through the looking glass here as we look at, you know, what's happening. Now, BP has apologized for the spill, and we're going to have State Senator Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton of West Virginia to join us to talk about energy, British Petroleum, and the much maligned, much criticized, much commented on response of President Obama on the BP oil leak. Not the spill, the leak. I'm looking at more newscasts about the spill. It's a leak. I mean, maybe it doesn't make any difference, but this ain't just a spill, Jack. I shouldn't even call it a leak. It's a gusher. It's a geyser. So the BP gusher will be discussed in our first hour here. Plus, we'll tell you what dads really want for Father's Day. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight on KTLK, 1150 AM in Los Angeles and in Scott City, Kansas. KYUL, 1310 AM, two great affiliates here on our network for the Phil Hendry Show. British Petroleum has agreed to a $20 billion fund. Their chairman has apologized. This and other news happening today in Washington after intense negotiations. BP bowed to President Barack Obama's demand for a $20 billion fund to compensate victims of the disastrous oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. See, even these guys, this Ben Feller of Associated Press. The humbled chairman of the giant British company apologized to the American people for the horrendous accident. British Petroleum is suspending its dividends to shareholders for the rest of this year to help pay for the costs for 1 year. Now, that gives you a pretty good idea as to how much money British Petroleum makes when they only have to suspend the payment of dividends for a year. Well, it's going to be a tough year. No dividend. Well, this little thing, $20 billion, $20 billion. Well, so... That was the extent of it there from Washington. There's more news. We'll be talking about it with Kurt and Guy. President Obama talked to reporters after meeting with BP to announce a fund that will be used to handle these claims for the victims of this oil leak.
Currently, under federal law, there is a $75 million cap on how much oil companies could, under certain circumstances, be required to pay for economic damages resulting from a spill such as this. That amount obviously would be insufficient. And that's why I'm pleased to announce that BP has agreed to set aside $20 billion to pay claims for damages resulting from this spill. This $20 billion will provide substantial assurance that the claims people and businesses have will be honored.
All right, now, one other piece of sound here. We got British Petroleum Chairman Carl Henry Svanberg. He says he is sorry for this horrific disaster.
I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to the American people on behalf of all the employees in BP, many of whom are living on the Gulf Coast. And I do thank you for the patience that you have in this difficult time.
That is the chairman of British Petroleum minutes after meeting with President Obama as he was speaking to the press himself. His name is Carl Henry Svanberg. Joining me from Charleston, West Virginia this evening is Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, both state senators there in West Virginia, as we talk about President Barack Obama. Both of you guys know the president, and you know that he's probably feeling it tonight. And I would start off with you, Kurt, about the criticism of President Obama. First of all, what you know about the man, how does he take criticism like that?
Well, Phil, I don't think it is so much the criticism that he has taken as the rush, the demand to do something. I think President Obama is a man that can handle criticism as far as it goes, but I don't think it is within his ability any more than it's within the ability of any other president we've ever had to make a snap judgment or a snap decision on what ought to be done in the Gulf with this oil leak, and I think the criticism that is received is that they haven't been fast enough. It is a natural instinct on the part of anyone in politics who knows the right thing to do and wants to do the right thing, not to want to be pressured. And when you pressure a man, you are going to get a man to do exactly the opposite thing. You know what I'm saying, Guy?
Guy Barton, Guy, how are you doing?
I'm good. I think what Kurt more than anything else trying to say is President Obama is a good man, but you can't push him, and you can't get a good decision out of any man that you are leaning on and breathing down his neck and jumping up and down. And you need to get an answer, and you're putting too much pressure on it.
I think that's more than anything else. What has happened here?
Well, you made a comment there a moment ago. They're putting too much pressure on Obama to come up with all the right answers, and he couldn't come up with the right answers any more than any other president?
Oh, yeah. I made that statement, yeah.
You more than any other president?
Well, you can't name a president in the history of this country that's going to deal with this BP oil situation in the Gulf any better than Barack Obama here. I think Barack Obama had put his foot down and said, I can't make a decision as long as everyone is yelling and screaming about it. You know, you have a lot of people in Congress that are yelling and screaming and carrying on. And people are banging on the door and banging on the window.
If I could, Bill, I think it's like anything else in life. What kind of good decision are you going to make? When you have children in the car, you're driving down the road and you're screaming and yelling and you can't make a decision, you can't drive, you're going to get an automobile accident.
Yeah. Well, that was I think the analogy we made. We were talking about this on the floor of the legislature.
All right. Well, this is hardly a father driving down the road with a bunch of kids. This is a president of the United States of America. Is he not expected to make these decisions?
Well, we've never seen anything like this before, Phil. We've never seen when someone says, "Well, he's expected to make what kind of decision is he expected to make?" Now, even Harry Truman took his time. And I said this to Guy, and Guy even quoted me in a newsletter that he sends out to his constituents. I said, even Harry Truman took his time before he decided to use the A-bomb.
On the Japanese.
Yeah. On the Japanese, right. You don't just run right out and make every right decision there is to make when people are banging on the door and they're panicking, you know.
Do you think, in other words, that President Obama has been at the receiving end of hysteria?
I think that's a very good word for it. I think that's a very good word for there been a lot of hysterical people. A lot of people that want him to do something, and then another one wants him to do something else, and somebody wants him to do something else. Now, that's problem number one, but the bigger problem is nobody wants to be told that they're not doing anything. No one wants to be pushed. No one wants to be rushed.
Well, look, if the president is being pushed and rushed, it's only because it's a very critical situation, right?
Well, it is a critical situation, but the natural tendency of those of us in politics is when someone is pushing you or rushing you, especially telling you to do something that no white president is going to be able to take care of, you know, because we've got to get down to it right now.
We've got to get down to the brass tacks.
Well, no white president. I mean, we've only had one black president. So, I mean, it's suffice to say it's no other president.
Well, that is true. But, again, no president that... All right, you can have it your way if you want to, but I think there's more to it than just that. I see that no white president ever been able to take care of a problem like this.
You know, they only had a white president, but it is true. You know.
No, I know it's true, but no president has ever had a problem like this.
There you go. No president ever had a problem like this. And so, therefore, the hysteria... And the people that are losing their minds and they don't have a good grip, you know, on the situation, they're pressing Obama to make a decision, and he make a decision this way or that way, he's never going to be right.
All right, now what's this point here that you guys have mentioned this on the show before? When so much pressure is being put on you, you decide not to do anything. I think you've brought this up.
Well, no. What we brought up before was the tendency of some people to... call you names in letters to tell you in a letter they think you're this or that, you know.
You get some very strong language, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of language. Then you say to them, well, you know, you don't speak to an elected representative like that. Well, I think the same is true of a president of the United States. When you are yelling at him and screaming at him and telling him to fix something that no other president in the history of the world has ever had to deal with, and he says, you know something, when you shut up, then maybe I'm going to get back to work.
Yeah. Well, what is this? He knows that this is a problem.
Oh, he knows the problem, but the problem not going to get solved when everyone is yelling and screaming. And so the tendency is just to sit back and say, all right, you all want to yell and scream, you go ahead and do what you got to do. But I ain't going to do nothing until you shut your mouth. And I think it is the tendency.
Is the President of the United States, I just got to ask you this, Kurt, is the President of the United States consciously not doing anything because he's being pressured or yelled at, as you say, or...
I don't think he's not doing anything, but I'm telling you that he slows down when people ratchet it up and tell him, you got to do something, got to do something, got to do something. Well, I know, because I've known this man many years. He is a black man. You have to understand that.
Yeah, that's a part of that, you know.
And so when he got all these people saying, let's go, you got to do something, his tendency is to, you know what? Now you pissed me off. Excuse my language, Phil, but I think that now y'all made me mad. Now you pissed me off, and now I think I'm doing. I'm going to, rest the spell.
Well, that doesn't sound very responsible.
It's not like he's not doing anything, but he don't want anybody to think that he is hurrying along because they put a switch to his ass. You know, just like that. Like they're riding a stretch at a race or something like
that. Yeah, at a 10-pound racetrack, you know, trying to put a switch on him and trying to get that extra length. No. You know?
So he doesn't want people to think that he's being pressured or that he is being forced into making these decisions. He's going to make them on his own, and he's going to do what he's going to do, and meanwhile, everybody's hysterical. All right, Curtin Guy, hold the line here. 877-876-PHIL. Is President Obama, is he actually a guy who is being put under enormous amount of pressure to solve a problem that no other American president could solve any better? That is the opinion here of Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, that no other American president could solve any better, no other white president, as they put it. And is he slowing down because he wants to collect himself and his thought process and is not going to be rushed, and in point of fact slows down even more the more people put pressure on him? So it's possible what these guys are saying now is that we stop putting pressure on the president, let him do what he's going to do. Otherwise, he can't get anything done with everybody screaming and yelling. 877-876-PHIL, here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. President Barack Obama facing a problem no other president has ever faced, and so maybe he's dealing with it about as well as any other president would deal with it. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I meant.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 877-876-PHIL. Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy join us from the West Virginia State Legislature. I know you guys are not there right now. It is very late. And you're across the street at Rosie's, right?
That is correct, Phil. Yeah, we have late dinner.
I'll get a cup of coffee here, too.
Now, you guys mentioned to me, and I think it was you, Kurt, today on the floor, and we'll get to some phone calls, too, 877-876-PHIL. Today on the floor of the West Virginia Legislature there, in the state Senate, you said something that stopped everybody in their tracks. Tell me again what that was.
Well, I have to give credit to Guy Barton because he had written it, and I asked Guy, I'd like to use that today when I address the state Senate on the energy bill that we are considering in West Virginia, because everybody is talking about the British Petroleum fiasco, and I simply said that you're talking about when you ask for help, and you know everyone is saying that Obama should have asked for help, and they're just putting the pressure on, and the man can't even think straight, he can't think clearly, because he has all these people telling you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do something else.
All right. Now, they did say, ask the Dutch, right?
Well, they said, ask the Dutch for a skimming machine. And I said, never mind the legality of using that machine because the EPA says illegal. This is a country that gave us Joran van der Sloot, who is a man that killed a girl, this young lady, American, killed her and killed another young lady. This is the same country that gave us that man. Do we all want to ask now for help on the Gulf? And I can tell you it stopped everyone in their tracks.
I can attest to that, Phil. The entire chamber came to a stop when Kurt said that this is the country that gave us Joran van der Sloot, a murderer, a dirty murderer, and everyone stopped.
Well, that doesn't necessarily compute, though, in terms of
it may not in the strictest sense, but that's a country that gave birth to a psychopathic murderer. And there are some people said Obama should immediately have reached out to them and said, why don't you help us up with the oil spill? And the president said, I cannot have all these hysterical people yelling and breathing on me. I'm going to take a bit of a breather here, and if you don't stop yelling breathing, I'll tell you now, I'll back it off. And look at here, you want me to get a skimming machine from a country that gave birth to a killer?
But again, I don't really know that that's germane, you know?
It's germane in the abstract, Bill Pippin, but by now, but you look at a country like the Dutch, and they all together turn a double Dutch, you know, you're in a double Dutch, you're in a world of hurt, to give a killer and let a killer walk. And that's what we talk about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton as we talk about the we're talking about BP, we're talking about the Gulf oil spill, but really what we're discussing is Obama, and has too much pressure been put on him? Is he reacting by slowing down and telling everybody to shut up? And are we asking him to deal with a problem that, in the opinion of these two gentlemen, no other American president would be able to deal with any better? Let's go to Charles in Gulf Shores, Alabama. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Charles, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for talking to me. I just wanted to say, I just turned on the radio and I heard these two guys and thought to myself, you know, if I was Obama, I would be pretty upset myself if they were accusing me of something like this. It's just ridiculous that to say that no other president has been under anything like this. This is an oil spill. It is a disaster, and it's a disaster down here. But, you know, you look at Pearl Harbor, you look at the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Pearl Harbor, you know exactly how to respond to Pearl Harbor. But you don't know how to respond.
That's an insult to these presidents that have had this before. You look at 9/11, you look at everything like that.
No, they have not. No,
that's just
simple-minded.
That's ridiculous. And a president is supposed to handle that pressure. I was just saying, the president is supposed to be able to handle that pressure. I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years.
I think you insult the president.
And I can promise you that
you
somebody has
president.
To make a quick decision.
You
his best, thing, his best thing is to sit here and tell these people he is the president. And I will give you support him
what
as
about
president
the Netherlands?
Of this country. And what he needs to do is he needs to stand up and tell these people then. He needs to say, hey, look. This is what I'm going to do. As president, he needs to stand up and be presidential.
He can't do it. They won't shut up. They won't shut up.
They're not going to shut up, though. That's the thing.
Like
these people, I'm telling you
right
now.
You won't shut up.
These people, anywhere, and every president has had it. And the most recent president that suffered through it was Bush with Katrina.
Ain't no president ever been through something like this.
You heard the outcry from Bush and Katrina. You're hearing
the same thing
that Obama is doing. Look, I'm trying to be fair. You're getting the same.
Yeah, no. I'm hearing what you're saying.
No, I think what's going on with Obama is, you know why, too, don't you? They're giving Obama that because it's payback on Bush. It's payback on Bush.
No. It's totally different.
You know, it is.
I think it's not a payback on Bush. Yeah.
Bush is gone. He's no longer president.
Yeah.
We need to understand that. Obama is president.
Let's talk about the problem at hand. Yeah, let's talk about the problem at hand here. And
young man, I want to thank you for your service to our country, the United States Marine Corps. That is a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you, this is a whole different ballgame, my friend, from 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. 9/11, you knew who to attack. You were a Marine, you know. You attacked the enemy. But there ain't no enemy here. It's just a gust. It's oil. It's a leak. How do you call that an enemy?
And then you go to the Netherlands.
You go to the Netherlands. That's where that killer killer comes from.
Wait, hold on.
President Obama made the comparison first.
He made
the comparison to 9/11 the other day. What I want President Obama to do...
Under pressure.
What I want him to do, but we've all got pressure. I mean to tell you, okay?
You ain't got no pressure like the United States.
All right, well, we're out of time, guys. We're out of time. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Kirk Quede and Guy Martin.
Phil Hendry.
No.
Phil Hendry Show here. On the line is Kirk Quede and Guy Barton here as we talk about the events of today. President Obama, and he was, as you know, meeting with the CEO of British Petroleum, and they established this $20 billion fund. Now, we're going to get back to Kurt and Guy. They've been talking here, and I think... You're discussing the fact that the president has so much pressure on him that it's impossible for him to make a right decision.
I'm not saying that the president of the United States is going to make a right decision.
Well, you're saying that there's so much pressure on him that it's almost like hysteria, I think is the way you put it, and that people need to back off, right?
I'm saying, Phil, I know, Kurt, you agree, we spoke during the break. But President Obama has a family, he has children, he has a wife. It is beneath the stature of a president to take orders from outsiders and to take orders from a lot of panicked and hysterical congressmen and senators. It's beneath the dignity of a president of the United States. And then they say, oh, by the way, once you go get a skimmer from Dutch land, where they got a killer on the loose.
Well, the Vandersloot connection, I'm not quite sure I'm going to buy here. Before we get to a phone call, though, I wanted to just one more piece of audio here. This is the CEO of British Petroleum, Carl Henry Svanberg. He says he and President Obama feel deeply, and this comment got him in trouble, feel deeply for the small people.
And I must say that he comes across as he's frustrated because he cares about the small people, and we care about the small people. I hear comments sometimes that large oil companies are greedy companies or don't care, but that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
All right, so that is Carl Henry Svanberg. Do you think he's making things better or worse?
Well, I think he is saying what he needs to say. He's saying, look, we're working as fast as we can.
That's a good point. The BP man coming in and saying that, Phil, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kurt.
No, go ahead.
I think saying we are doing as fast as we can. We're working hard as we can. No other president of the United States would ever do anything better than what Obama's doing right now. I know that young man talked about 9/11 Pearl Harbor. You can go and bomb the Japan, and you go over and bomb Al-Qaeda. Who do you bomb? You got a leaky faucet, you know. I think that what Obama's doing is, and Kurt made it very good, it's beneath the dignity of a president of the United States to have a lot of hysterical people laying on the couch, fainting, passing out. You've got to hand out the smell. Just when the president of the United States...
That's a good point, Phil, and I know what you're going to say. When does the President of the United States hand out the smelling salt? Is that it?
Yeah.
When does the President of the United States got to help a lady up from the floor because she got the vapors? And that's what's going on right now with Obama. He got to help everybody up because they got the vapors. And meanwhile, he's trying to answer these questions, and there ain't a president on earth that ever do any better.
Well, you know that you're going to have arguments about that, as you did from that young man, that ex-Marine. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Before we get to the phone calls, what is your recommendation?
My recommendation, as I said at the very outset of your program tonight, Phil, everybody needs to stick a hold. I mean, you got to shut up. And you got to shut up now, because if the president can't think clearly and he can't come up with an answer, all that oil gets pumped out of that ground, it leaves a giant hole. If you know about oil drilling, you know that oil come up out of the ground and leaves a giant hole. And that means that there's going to be sinkholes.
Yeah, it could be a very collapse.
And that's it right underneath New Orleans. And God forgive me, and pray to Jesus and all the saints of heaven that New Orleans, having been through everything it's been through, it gets sucked down in some kind of sinkhole.
That's exactly right, Bill. And you know.
Well, I don't know that that's going to be the case. I do know that, of course, there is an enormous vacuum—not a vacuum, but a hole left when oil is pumped out. But they replace it with sand, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Right now, it's a completely different situation. But they won't shut their mouths to let Obama think about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call here tonight. 877-876-PHIL with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Here is Eileen in Boston, listening to us at WTKK. Eileen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't sleep, and I tuned in about a half hour ago. I see Point, the man from the Pine, and I didn't catch his name. Is making.
My name is I'm Kurt. My name is Kurt Queedy. I've got Guy Barton here.
Hi, Kurt.
How are you?
With you totally. This is one man. They keep referring to him as a black man. His mother was white or Hawaiian, so I don't know why he's black.
Well, you know he's black. I mean, he looks black to me. Doesn't he look black to you?
Well, yeah. Well, to the typical cracker,
yeah.
Pardon my language.
Typical crack, I think to any white man, he looked like a black man to me. But
He does.
Look like
but
me
that's
too.
Typical racist, you know? I'm talking about people like me. frankly,
he looks black to you, too. You tell me he don't look black to you? Are you telling me he don't look black to you?
Sorry, I brought that up, Kurt.
But he looks like he looks totally Negroid to me in terms of the feature.
Yeah, that Negroid feature.
Okay, well,
all right, let's get off that topic, okay?
He's gotten great, I know that much, and he's lost a lot of weight. He's expected to be everywhere at every moment.
Are you telling me that man doesn't have thick lips?
Let me finish.
Are you saying he don't have thick lips? Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
how
no.
did we get on this?
Oh, I never should have said that.
How are we getting on this topic?
Calm down.
No. The lady's saying he don't have thick lips. If Barack Obama hadn't got thick lips, then I wasn't born in a hole in a hollow log.
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
I wish I had never.
You're
misunderstanding
me, Kurt. You got to watch that.
All right, let's just get off of that topic. What did you want to talk about here, Eileen?
It's like, you know, the story of putting the finger in the dike, whatever that was, the guy, stopping the, whatever, that old fable. This man has tried his damnedest. He has even, said after a prayer breakfast with his wife, Michelle, who I give really her credit to, she is trying like, hi, and they got
kids. He looks black.
He said,
but she do look black.
Has anybody got anything better to say or has a better idea? Come on, give it on.
You know,
what
do you think about my theory about the Netherlands and that Vandersloot?
I agree with the moderator.
That's a good point.
You can't really connect it's not definitive that he killed Natalie Hall,
I want to ask a question here. Right.
So they got
how does
him.
That
they
connect,
got
though?
Right.
How does that, right. How does that connect to the... hold on, Eileen. How does that connect to the to what we're talking about?
Well, I think it connects because if they tell Obama, you got to go over there to the Dutch people and get that skimmer. And Obama says, I got to slow it up because you know as well as I do, they got a man in jail in Peru. He a Dutch man. He butchered up two women. Now, Obama, if he does not say that publicly, hold on. If he don't say that publicly, people are going to say, now look at Obama. He's trucking and trafficking with these butchering guns.
That's what I mean. We're depending on him to be God.
I forgot to talk about that. Yeah, exactly. So they're going to say, look at he's having traffic and he's having truck with these butchering Dutch. And you can't do that.
All right. Look at Eileen. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. The butchering Dutch. But that doesn't have anything to do, as I said, with the oil leak.
No, I don't think it does either, but I'm talking about the public perception of Obama right now. Everybody's ready to jump on him like he's a loose football. You know, you ever seen a football game when it comes squeezing out?
Yeah, you put the squiggly out, and they all go on a football.
Obama looked like he is a fumbled football, and everybody is trying to wrestle him, and he's just trying to get some room to breathe. Now, that man goes after the Dutch. He said, hey, Dutch, lay it on me, whatever you have, a skimmer or that oil-sucking machine. And now the people say, well, you know, and they'll use some choice racial
term. Don't worry about it. Even though Eileen say he don't look black to her, you know full well he do. And they're going to say, now, what you doing? You just been had commerce with a butchering bunch of filthy butchering Dutch people, you know. And
well, only an idiot would say that.
Hello, what country you live in America? How many idiots we got here per capita? I risk my case, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. I can't argue with you on that because that's an opinion. Here is Jeffrey on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jeffrey. You're on with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton.
Hello, gentlemen.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Listen, let's rewind the tape a little bit. Let's go back to when this thing first started.
All right.
I'm sure the president of the free world had to take a wait-and-see attitude and see what BP was going to do about this when it first happened. He's not going to go ahead and spend the money and commit the troops to clean up the mess if he thinks that BP can handle it on their own. And they made the attempt to stop the leak. Two attempts failed to stop the leak, and he had to come down here and make three trips to, before he could make a command decision and commit federal money and federal people to help with the situation which has gotten out of hand. Now, he's the leader of the free world, and he's going to feel pressure no matter what
said.
The decision is.
I already said that.
I'm sure you
have.
I don't
know what this man's talking about.
Yeah, what you talking
I'm
about?
I'm speaking on
all right, he's
of the
giving his opinion, yeah.
That's what I've been
and
doing.
I'm saying that he had to take a wait-and-see attitude before he committed the money.
Got to shut up.
The only problem that I've got is that he had to come down here to the Gulf Coast three times when he could have made his decision from the Oval Office instead of spending taxpayers' money and getting Air Force One up into the sky.
What do you think about him going to Netherlands over from skimming machine?
Yeah, that's the thing that, well, we were talking about the West Virginia State Senate today voted unanimously to caution the president as to who he's doing business with in terms of cleaning up the Gulf because that Vandersloot is a Dutchman.
But
and
you,
I just wanted
the United States can come up with 10 serial killers for every one Dutchman. That is pointless.
Yeah, but we're not, that's for somebody else to make a decision on. I'm talking about the United States of America to having commerce with a country that gave birth to a butchering, you know, madman.
I understand
and,
that, but
we had said that, yeah. And he had stood up and I had said that, you know, in the West Virginia. What are you laughing at?
The it has to dead. Do with money. It doesn't have to do with a serial killer.
There's two women dead because
and
of this man.
Yeah, but the, that's got nothing to do with the, you know.
Well, he stopped everybody cold in West Virginia State Legislature. And I can tell you, listen, guys, think it's all funny. Everybody laughing it up here tonight.
Well, what does
the victimized
women have to do with the oil spill?
Because the oil spill is going to get cleaned up by these Dutch who got a skimming machine or something that they told me they got, and they're butchering mad people. Now, if you want to... What the hell is funny about that?
All
right. Well, the United States, that is a moot point.
No,
it is totally ridiculous.
No, sir. I think. But you know that this president would be held. Are you telling me that the president would not be held accountable by these conservatives? Because you know how crazy they are. You know how crazy they are. And they'd say that Obama shouldn't have no business.
A serial killer in Holland to.
Let me ask you this guy, Steve King, who is a representative from Iowa. Is so bat crap crazy. He talking about Obama favoring black people. Now he's going to say Obama loves him some serial killer.
It's
now,
got nothing to do
all right,
with
that,
race.
Yeah.
It's
got nothing
to do
with race.
Being a serial killer.
Right. I got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more phone calls here. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton talking from Charleston, West Virginia. They are two state senators there in the West Virginia State Senate. And speaking in defense of President Obama, saying that the pressure that this man has been under concerning this oil spill, no one could make a rational decision. No one could make a good decision with all of this yelling and screaming. It will only tend to make the president drag out his decisions. And then, of course, you heard their theory on doing business with the Dutch, who have a skimming machine that can separate oil from water, but it leaves a residual oil in the water that it pumps back into into the body of water, right? So while it is separating the oil and water, when it pumps that purified water back, there is a little bit of oil left in it. And the reason why we can't use that machine that the Dutch have is because the oil it leaves in the water violates EPA regulations. Our own federal law does not allow us to use that machine. Now, there are a lot of people saying that the Dutch, you know, can't be dealt with, but these guys are talking about how Jeroen van der Sloot comes from there. And that's why we shouldn't be doing it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from West Virginia as we talk about British Petroleum. And we are into the 50-whatever-th day. I mean, people are counting it down. That seems to be one of the things we like to watch are the days ticking by. And President Obama, who has been, you know, at times he's been really savaged by the press. At other times, for instance, today I heard Bill O'Reilly over on Fox News defending him. I heard a number of conservatives defending him. What do you think of that?
Well, I think for the first time we got conservatives who might be thinking in the right direction. They understand the president. I have a very limited ability to deal with something like this, but they're not going far enough. And as Guy Barton put in his newsletter to his constituents, this president is dealing with a problem that no other president ever had to deal with.
That is true, Phil.
Well, look, let's say this. Let's split the difference. President Bush, with 9/11, dealt with something no president ever had to deal with. Franklin Roosevelt with Pearl Harbor dealt with something no president ever had to deal with, and President Obama, you know.
I think this is way worse than 9/11. I don't mean in terms of people dying, but what the hell, what are you going to do? You know, if I've got a Japan coming to vomit on me, I know what I'm going to do. I don't know about Kurt. I think I can guess. You go find that man, and you're going to drop him. And I just want to answer one more question before you go to a phone call.
Go ahead.
That gentleman is laughing at me because I mentioned the Natalie Holloway and that Jeroen van der Sloot coming from the Netherlands. Well, if you want to bring these Dutch into the Gulf and they're going to have an oil skim machine, and I just went over to Wikipedia and confirmed that Alabama borders the Gulf, you know.
That's right. And you know what happened up there.
Yeah. Are you talking about Natalie Holloway?
You know I'm talking about Natalie Holloway. I'm not just thinking about it. She come from Alabama. Alabama borders the Gulf. On a Wikipedia that we look at, and you're going to have Dutch running around down there, or floating around, or however they're going to do it, putting their skim machine out, and you have yourself a woman admission, you're going to remember the day I told you.
Yeah, you want to have that Dutchman down there.
Yeah. Are you guys can't be serious. You think that the Dutch are going to come down and try to help us clean up, and they got serial killers working on the crew?
Well, we've got a problem, don't we? Because we got a dead young lady in Aruba, and we got a Dutchman, and we can't seem to put the Dutchman in Aruba and a dead young lady together to make a... we can't put that together to make ourselves a two-minute cartoon, let alone a full book, you know.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here. Holly in Gulf Breeze, Florida. Hi, Holly. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Oh, man, I got so much to say. First
yes,
of all,
ma'am.
The president... What he should have done, because he is our leader, he should have been down here a lot sooner than he was. I live...
What's he going to do? What's he going to do? All he's going to do is pick up tarball. He's going to pick up a tarball, look at it, and toss it back. That all he can do?
He is a leader, and he needs to let us know what he's going to be doing. To fix it, what
did.
He is able to do, and he needs
he
to
is able to do.
He could have gotten boats down here ASAP.
No. Not anything that wasn't from Netherlands.
We don't have any other ships or anything in the United States to get down here?
We don't have enough of them oil. Guys, you know more.
Yes, ma'am. What we need are ships that can take the oil. That is a tanker ship, you know. And we have a limited number, and the only one they have are in the Netherlands. And if we go for them, well, that's what I mean. That kid, he is a murdering. They got them butchering
Dutch. There's murderers in every country. So any country that would offer us help, you could find a murderer there. That's
well,
a
I think so, but I don't
argument.
Think that is true. That's true, but none so notorious as this. And plus, he killed a little girl who comes from Alabama, which borders the Gulf State.
I know, and I found
exactly.
it hard to believe
what is
that you had to look. I found it hard to believe that you had to look it up on the computer to see that Alabama is a Gulf State.
No, see, no. I verified it on Wikipedia. That's all I was doing.
You had to verify
you
that?
How,
I mean,
no,
you probably have never been to the Gulf Coast. You do not know how this is affecting people down here. You don't have a clue.
I know it's very serious, but it's also serious to let a Dutchman skim up oil
you,
when
that's not
about
the
a
point.
Week before,
the point is our
before.
Leader, Obama, needs to be getting his act together and getting resources down here
yes,
before
ma'am.
Any
but
more
under,
oil gets to the shores. It's a
he's under a lot of pressure, ma'am. He's got a wife. He's got children just like everybody
then
else.
He should not have signed up for the job.
And he's got, he's
no,
got
no,
his
that's
weekends.
That, no, that's the
what
point.
What about his weekend? What about his weekend?
You, when you're the president of the United States, you work for the people. You don't
you
have
don't even have your weekends off.
I'm
Phil Henry.
At the tip.